It's rock and roll. Parable of the Talents, part two. So we already know that this is an example of, in this parable, a man goes to a faraway country, he leaves gifts, talents for his servants, and he's expecting a return on his investment. All right? And we looked last week at what he said here. And determine what those talents are. And so we found out that the man is Christ. We're the servants. The talents are the gifts that God has given us to use for the... Pardon?
I did some commentary on the talents.
Yes.
And your talents can include skills, abilities, family protection, social position, education, and experience.
Okay.
So in other words, your talents, you invest in skills and abilities.
Okay.
So it don't have to be like you're investing the money and stuff like that. It's a lot of talents.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. It's money in the example, but we're using that natural example in the right. parable right. To give us some spiritual insight.
Right.
So
right.
thank you for that. Right. And then the faraway country, woo, it's getting closer every day.
Yes.
That's heaven. Yeah. I want to see my dad, and I want to, you know... I think Al will be there. I'm going to let you meet my dad when we get up there.
Okay,
all right, there you go. All right.
In living color.
Okay, living color. All right. And we did an analysis last week on the characteristics of the two who produced. And I want to look at that again as we get going here. I think we looked at 2 Timothy. I'm not sure. No, I don't think we got to 2 Timothy. Where did we leave off at, Al?
We did read it.
Oh, we did read it?
I think.
Yeah. Never mind. Okay, we read it, then let's keep going. Well, if you turn to
it. I'm thinking about 2 Peter.
We read first.
Where did we leave off at? 24?
25.
21.
21, 25. Chapter 25, verse 21.
Oh, okay, okay, gotcha. You're throwing me off. All right, so here we go. We haven't gotten to, it yet. All right. Those dogs are redheads. All right, here we go. Luke.
Yeah, let's get the expert.
I
do it all the time.
I tell you what, I'm going to leave the meeting and come back in.
Okay. Well, hold on. I think I should be able to mute you here. In fact, did you already get out of it?
Yeah, I'm out of it.
Oh, okay.
I'm not trying to go back in. I can't read those. That's too small. That's why I pulled up here.
Oh, well, let's do something about that.
Oh yeah. It's magic. There you go.
But anyway,
man, that's real big. All right.
I can read that without my glasses.
That's a little small.
How's that?
Yeah, that is good.
Put the TV up there a little bit. Okay. Hey, we got a geriatric class here, so
yeah. Be careful.
I'm in a good mode.
He chooses to stay.
Praise the Lord.
He has opportunity to go where there's no geriatric. Yeah. He chooses to stay.
Verse 21, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. I want to point out just a couple things here we did last week. When we invest and we trade the skills and talents, that some of which Al talked about, we've done well. And in order to do well, we got to do good with it. I think that's following the steps. But it's also the faithfulness. And the opposite of faith is doubt and fear. So make sure we, I know we talked about that last week, but just the opposite of faith is doubt and fear. Where does fear come into play in our lives in the ministry?
When we get our eyes off of him.
Okay.
Also, when you go to witness to something.
Ah, when you go to witness to somebody, fear comes in. What are we fearful of?
Rejection.
Yeah. Yeah, fear of rejection. Exactly. Sometimes I've experienced fear in prayer. And I'm just coming out of that a little bit better now. He's taught us how to pray. He's given us the spirit. We got the steps. We know how to pray. We got to pray with faith. But have you ever had that instance where you, and I was listening to a teaching just last night, as a matter of fact, have you ever had that situation where you get scared and you pray scared?
Yeah.
You pray fear. Beckett is sick. Mandy. You look at things in the natural and you go, oh my God, I got to pray because I'm scared. I really want God's best to happen in this, and you start praying, but you pray fearfully. But then, is that really a powerful prayer? I know the urgency to hit your knees because, man, I'm scared. I heard a prognosis, you know, I got to hit my knees quick because I'm scared of what the outcome might be. But then you pray, and you have that fearful prayer, and you're hoping that it works out, but in the back of your mind, you might have a little doubt.
Yeah.
Mandy may not make it through. Beckett may not make it through, but I'm praying. And I know, you know, but so I've really started to get better at standing on the word and pushing the doubt out of the way and standing on the promises of God that He is able, because fear even comes in that. Are you going to say something?
I was just going to say, I've never equated it to fear, but the thought always comes to my mind. I know that He can, but I don't know that He will.
Yeah.
And I want to change that. I know that He can. I know that He will, but His will be done.
Right.
And I'm going to be okay either way. I don't want my circumstances to mess up the word. I want the word to be powerful regardless of the circumstances. Let me give you a quick example. This is a little away from the... So I got a guy I'm mentoring. He's got like... He's been in jail. He's been connected. You know, he used to be a drug abuser. And lost his kids. And I met him at a church down in... In fact, I zoomed in one Sunday from down in Florida. He's down there. I was visiting a friend's church, and I connected with him, and now he's my mentee. I'm his mentor. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I don't have anything but the word and the steps. So we, I call him about once a week, and we go through the steps, and he tells me what's going on. He moved out of his parents' house. It's a good thing. He got custody of his two kids again. Got himself a nice little girl that he's been dating. Got himself a new apartment. He's always in some kind of financial situation or whatever. He reconciled with his dad and his stepmom and walking through the steps and got them saved. And he gets a brand new job. And in that brand new job, he gets a promotion within the first 3 months. And now he's able to make enough money so that he can get out of the hole. And he's just giving his testimony, and God is good and just, you know, awesome. So he calls me up and says all the bigwigs came down for a meeting, and they called him up, and they looked at everybody's records, and one of the bosses said, how do we hire you when you've got 3 felonies and 2 misdemeanors? You know, that's in the past, that's this, that, and the other. You know, he's got a boss that's, you know, that's supporting him. And they're like, you know, we're going to have to come back, and we see he just got a promotion. We're going to have to come back and figure out whether we're going to keep you or let you go.
Oh,
and that's exactly what I said, Sandra. I'm like, oh my God, this is like the last thing, the worst thing that needs to happen to this guy after he's going through the steps and getting his life back together. And he said, well, you can't do that. Well, that would be discrimination or whatever. So he's using a logical argument against him. And, you know, the boss says, well, You can call it discrimination you want to, but this is a right to work state, and so we don't have to have a reason to let you go. He's pinging. I'm going through the steps, Pastor Chuck. I'm like, what do I tell him? What do I tell him?
You've been through it.
David's been with me for a while. I took him back through the steps again. Cry out to God. Repent. What's he got to repent of? The doubt, the fear. Mm-hmm. And you need a word that will encourage you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what popped in my mind was the book of Ruth and the story of Ruth. I'm mm-hmm. like, you're like Ruth. And Boaz said, I've got to deal with something in the morning. And you go and you wait. Naomi tells him, you know, just wait right there. Yeah. This guy is not going to rest until this thing is dealt with.
Yeah.
And then I said, just hang on to the Holy Spirit. Remain faithful or whatever. That will push the fear
out. Pardon me? I did.
Two.
Okay. Sorry, I was talking to myself and the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Well, you keep doing that. It's fine. so now all of a sudden I'm a little fearful.
Yeah.
Because the last thing I want is for this dude to lose his job.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you know what? I cannot pray fearfully. You got to just trust God. Whatever way it turns out, all right?
Yeah.
God's will, God's glory, whatever, but I'm not going to let my circumstances, all right, impact the promises that I'm standing on.
Amen.
Regardless of how it turns out. All
right.
So I prayed, and I prayed with confidence. You have to make this work, because we're following these steps. You have to show up, and you have to give him his rapture to pull him out of this situation right now, and you have to give him the victory as he's going through this trial so he can have peace.
Amen.
And about an hour later, I called him back because I went through those steps too, and I'm like, the Spirit gave it to me when I hit level 4. And then number 5, to be able to show how to deal with him. Ask a question. I'm like, what grieved me about his story was he was taking a natural argument, which I don't have a problem with, but I don't want him to stay too long. Well, this could be discrimination and blah, 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 blah. Anybody hearing that? I said, here's a question you can ask them. I got this from the Holy Spirit. Go back if you get the opportunity, and you may not, but ask the question, do you have a worker that works harder than I do? Do you have a worker that's putting in the time that I'm putting in? Do you have anybody else that loves their job like I love this job and bleed for this job like I bleed? Do you have anybody else like me that works like that here, regardless of my record? He says, I didn't think about that. Those are good questions. I said, now my prayer is that you have the opportunity to do what the Spirit led me to do. Because they were going to have the meeting without me. The next day comes. He's supposed to find out by Monday. He found out on Friday. He had the opportunity to go back and tell them those questions. They came back. He texts me. He keeps his job. He keeps his promotion. Everything's good.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But that fear comes in there. That doubt comes in there. And regardless, and you know what helps me with this? What used to help me with this? Those three boys. Going into the furnace.
Okay. Mm.
And when they talk to the king and say, we know that our king is able to deliver. Our God is able to deliver. But even if he doesn't, it's all that. We'll just be a burnt sacrifice unto him.
And he's still the king.
And he's still the king. Mm-hmm. So, I think that was a little bit of a deviation. But when we pray for people, are we using our talents and investing?
Yeah.
So we can't be fearful in the investment. All right. Anyway, I just never really looked at this to that level of detail. Oh. All right. And you've been faithful over a few things. You know, it doesn't have to be the big stuff. It can be the few things that we do with our talents. If we smile at somebody, is that a gift that we're investing in with somebody else?
Yeah.
It's the small things.
I always think when he says the least.
Yes.
You do to the least.
Yeah.
You do to me.
Yeah.
And that's the way I do it. I try to start small.
Yeah.
The least.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
They're the most needy.
Yeah.
Chuck,
yeah.
Have you ever heard that story called Who Packed Your Parachute?
I have. That should be mandatory reading from the Air Force back in the day, yeah.
For those of you who don't know, what it was, there was a fighter pilot in Vietnam that got shot down, bailed out. About 20-some years later, he's at a restaurant in Washington, Oregon, somewhere like that. And this fellow comes up to him and says, hey, you're Commander so-and-so. I can't remember the name. And this was a young sailor that packed his parachute in the bowels of the ship. And the pilot said, if this guy hadn't done what he was supposed to do, he probably would not be alive. Because
right.
He didn't. He packed it the way it's supposed to be. What,
right.
What I'm getting at is, I know people that look down on the janitors, the administrative assistants, and stuff like that. But it's interesting, where I work, when our facilities guy is gone, you know it. And, you know, it's important to recognize those folks.
Yeah.
Please, thank you. Hey, appreciate you doing that. Or anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of times they're just ignored.
Don't downplay the gift. In fact, I've learned this in business. When I get to a new organization, the very first people I look for is the supply guy, the admin guy, because they can hook you up. So, all right. Good point.
One of the things I learned to do is if I am in a store and I have need of help and the person helps me, I tell them, thank you for coming to work.
Oh, okay. I bet they don't get that too often.
We need to tell them that more now.
No, they don't.
They ain't coming to work.
So I like the conversation here. It wasn't in my script, but don't downplay your talent. And just because you don't have the gifts and talents that other people have, it does. Here you go. He gave you something.
Yes.
Work that. And that operates in the kingdom. All right. Verse 22, new stuff. He also, that had received two talents, came along with, well, this is going to go through pretty quick. This is basically what we're talking about. He also, that had received two talents, came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. They get the same reward. God says the same thing for the big wig as he does for the little person. Well done. Good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. God is happy. He gets joy. We get to, you know, daddy's proud. We're enjoying hanging out with daddy. Daddy's happy. My son who's well pleased. I love this stuff. It's great. And just like the pastor getting ready for a Sunday service, he's got to do the same thing that little old me has to do. Be faithful and invest in the gift. Everybody meets at the foot of the cross. In fact, this should be a lesson even more so for the person with the five talents. Don't forget how you made those initial gains in the first place. Still takes faithfulness. Still takes the same steps, same process. These steps work for large and small, great and few. It just follow the script. All right. Let me ask a question, because I got a question here in my notes. What do they have faith in? He said, good and faithful servants. What do they have faith in?
Man.
they have faith in God's gifts.
Provision.
So it's not necessarily their natural talent and those types of things, but it's something on the inside, and it's that's powered by God and the Holy Spirit that gives them. They've got faith in that. Okay. I'm just wondering. When you wrestle, who do you have faith in? let me go further. Why?
Because I believe I can do what my coaches have taught me, and what they have, because they believe in me.
Oh my God! 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 You will not get a better word than that.
Breathe.
Did you hear what he just said? I want everybody on Zoom to hear what Luke just said.
Yep.
He's a wrestler. All right? And I asked him the question, what do you have faith in when you wrestle? And he said, faith in himself. And everybody's like,
oh, he missed it. He missed it. Yeah, he missed it.
Hold on. And then I did something that we do in business, something called the five whys. You just ask the question why, and you'll start to drill down to where the real source is. He has faith and confidence in himself. We cringe at that because we know we don't. But then he said, when I said why, he said why because of what I've been taught and what I've heard from my coaches.
And they believe in him.
Ooh, that, I ain't got there yet. Application for today. Who's our coach? Who's coaching us? Who's giving us the word? Faith comes by hearing, and we're hearing from the word of God. And God is our coach. Wow. Is that any powerful? You need to fist bump this dude on the way out of here, man. I'm telling you. This little priest, I'm writing this down. And then he said, and my coaches believe in me. So while you have confidence in yourself because your coaches believe, good gracious almighty, and do you really want to let your coach down? Man, so you are excited. You are enthused. I know you got the physical abilities and things like that, but it's not the physical abilities that's really driving you. It's something on the inside that says, I know I got this. Because I've been taught, and I listen to what my coaches say, and my coaches believe in me. Now you can go, Sandra.
Yeah.
My coaches believe in me, and because my coach believes in me, I believe in myself. My God, that is the gospel. That is the essence. That's what these guys are doing. God, the man who gives them those talents, believes in him.
There's his coach right here at the table.
And it goes back to always, who's in your corner? And that goes back to boxing and wrestling. Who's in your corner?
That's his brother was in his corner on that yesterday.
At the corner of the ring where the... Who's in your corner?
And are the people in your corner filled with faith?
So his brother's in his corner... And his brother can coach... Did his brother invest? Yes. What did he invest? His gifts and talents.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's already been there and done that. And he knows he's been in he's been in more tournaments than him. He's seen more stuff than him. He's received more word in coaching than him. So now he's coming back investing in him.
Because somebody invested in him.
And I'm so glad that God invested in me. And wait a minute. Paul, this is military. It's like basic training, man. When I went to officer training school, when I went to ROTC and summer camp and things like that or whatever, we ran and I was in shape. We'd run and you finish your mile and a half. Oh, God, I got to talk to you about the mile and a half. They changed the mile and a half, brother. That's just, we go and we run the mile and a half and we finish it up. When we finish the mile and a half run or whatever, What does a good cadet do afterwards?
Does he,
man, I'm telling you. The military showed me that long ago. I used to run around, and because I could run pretty quick at the time or whatever. I'd run my mile and a half in like 7 minutes or something like that or whatever. And I'm down. I'm like, 7 minutes. Look at all these other fools coming. You know, still out there huffing and puffing. Man, I'm a bad man. Because it's all about me. And the military showed me a good team player. Hurry up and get your breath. And then you go back up the course. And you encourage somebody else to finish. That's how the kingdom works. That's what his brother did for him. He's investing. Oh my God. Susan, you got to hear the word of God. Do you know where the word of God?
I have some people who might tell me.
Right here. Right here. Because his coaches believe in him, he believes in himself and his gift. And even if he does not win a match, he still goes in with that belief and faith. As long as I keep doing it, I'll have more victories than failures. My circumstances will not dictate my future. And if we take what he said in the natural and apply it to the spiritual, we should not have any fear when we pray for healing. We should not have any prayer when we pray for people to get a job. Like you said, David, man, I've been there and done that. So I've got faith in that particular area. I can carry somebody from. I can help mentor. I can help coach somebody in getting another job when you lose a job or keeping the one that you have. Been there and done that. And because God believes, I know God believes in us, or he wouldn't have trusted us with the gift. So have no fear and believe that you can do
it. Stop.
With the gift. Dave, I'm sorry, man. I don't know if we're going to get through this. When we leave out of here, we ought to pray differently. Regardless of the fear and the circumstances. Man, because he believes.
Everything is, all his promises are yes and amen.
Oh, his promises are yes and amen, and not maybe and perhaps.
Yeah.
Or accept.
I heard that the other day. Yeah. Yeah. It ain't maybe. It ain't sometimes. It's yes and amen.
Yes.
Wow. Thanks, Sandra. All right. Now, verse 24. Man, this is... I wrote on the column on my notes or whatever... Folks, this is not a setup. God's not trying to play some cruel joke on you by saying, hey, hey, Jesus, son, watch this.
Yeah, sometimes I imagine he's up there doing that.
It's not some cruel joke. He didn't mean it for the children of Israel. He didn't bring them out just go, I'm going to bring them out here and just kill them. Watch this.
Redneck style.
Yeah.
Hey, y'all, watch this.
Yeah. Verse 24. Then he which had received the one talent, came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown. That's not true, because you can't reap unless you sow. And gathering where thou hast not strawed. And here we go. I was afraid. Mm-hmm. I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast what that is thine. Now we see, I've never looked at this like this before.
That's the key word, afraid.
So now, I've been teaching this. This was one of my first sermons that I ever preached, and somebody ever came back and said, wow, that's a good sermon.
I mean, I've been doing this ever since about 2010. But maybe earlier than that. But it's like an onion you're peeling back. And now I'm seeing things that I had not seen before back in 2010. And one of the things was the comparison between the successful servants and the one that fails. And the things that I'm seeing that are different here is, the big thing is, it's the fear. I was afraid. Here's the problem. He already knew that God expected something from him. But he was, how do I know that? Look at what he said. I know you're the kind of person that, you know, you produce. Yeah, and I can't produce like you. I'll never be able to meet your expectations that you have for me. In fact, that is his defense. You're too hard, God. I can't do this like you can do it. So I was scared that I might not meet your expectations, and so I just stuck it in the ground, but I didn't lose it. Here you go. And on the surface, that makes sense. At least I didn't lose it. It's not my fault. You have such demands. Your expectations are too high. But here it is. I didn't lose anything. Wow.
He lost everything.
But he doesn't see it that way. You got to stop looking at things from our perspective. What he says makes sense, but when you look at it in the spiritual, if you knew that's what I expected, then why did you let me down?
Wow.
Do you really think I set you up for failure? If I gave it to you, I trusted it in you, and I gave you the ability to do what I can do. God said to Abraham, nothing is impossible with me. Jesus comes back and says, not only is nothing impossible with God, but if you got the faith of a mustard seed, there's nothing impossible for you. He has transferred his power and his gift to us. And I don't think we see it that way. There are churches who hide their stuff in the ground.
Yeah.
How do we hide our talents in the ground today?
I'm not doing anything with them.
Still a servant.
By not having faith.
He's a servant. Yeah. Got a different kind of servant.
Afraid.
Well, you still got fear for service.
And to me, it's being. God asked us to bear much fruit.
That's the expectation. So, application for today. He's the same God. It's a parable. It's teaching us, what is God expecting of you and I?
To be just like him. To invest in others.
To produce?
Mm-hmm.
For the kingdom.
To use our gifts.
How can
our talents?
So we know how the first two did it. How can people fail like this guy failed today? What does putting it in the ground look like?
Not trying.
Unbelief.
It would be better if he had tried and something didn't work out than to just put it in the ground.
That's what I was about to say too, David. If we go back to Luke's example, what if Luke wrestled all day yesterday and he left everything on the mat but didn't come out on top? God's still proud of him for leaving it all on the mat, doing everything that he needed to do, pouring out what had been invested in him, even if it didn't produce fruit on that day.
My failure does not define me. If I pray for somebody and they don't get healed, that's not going to stop me from praying for people to be healed. That just means I'm just going to ratchet my game up a little bit more. I'm going to give a little bit more word. I'm going to learn a little bit more about what healing looks like in the Bible.
Well, it's the difference between optimism and pessimism.
Okay.
For example, Thomas Edison said, I didn't fail 100 times, it just 100 times it didn't work. Until he
invented the light. Even in, wait a minute. So basically what you said was, even in his failure, he had faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he tried again.
Mm-hmm. Keep on trying to. Because honestly, we probably learn more when we fail than we do when we succeed.
I don't have to try that again anymore. Yeah. Absolutely. My failure has led to some of my biggest success.
Because, yeah. I mean, if we go back to Luke's example, the last couple of matches that he wrestled were really, really hard matches that he wrestled really well in but didn't come out on top. That led him to yesterday's success.
Ooh!
A one never quits and a quarter never wins.
Oh, that, yeah.
And we learn by our faith.
Haven't we become better Christians?
Yeah.
Don't we learn that every time we come in here, we go through one of these lessons, we go, yeah, that used to be me. Learn from that.
Well, that's why football players watch film. Because they're watching the mistakes so they don't do them again.
Yeah.
Well,
you know, how do I say, how you get good judgment? I have a bad judgment.
Okay. Shouldn't have done that.
I like what Paul said. David, we ain't gonna make it. I like what Paul said. Not Paul in the Bible, our Paul. He said football players look at film. Coaches look at film. That's a good natural example. And they get better, and they know how to fight better. They know how to prepare better because of the film. They know what the enemy is going to do. They know what the opposition is going to do because of the film.
Incorrect.
And they can be prepared beforehand. Mm-hmm. Question. Ooh, I like this. Paul almost trumped you on it. This is good. He's still behind you, but this is good. Where's our film?
The word.
Our coach, the game plan, the scouting report, how the opposition is going to come against us. In the book. Watch the film. Read the book.
That's good.
I didn't come up with it. Paul came up with that.
No, I said I'd do that.
All right. Somebody go to Second Timothy. Well, I saw the film. I know what he's going to do today when he came here.
I got it.
All right. All right. You can't stop at 1:7 though, because I looked at this again last night. You got to go 6 and 7.
Okay. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you.
Stir it up.
Through the laying on of my hands, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind.
Woo! I got to love somebody like God loves me. I got to invest in them. And I can't be fearful. Some people rejected him, but he still kept putting that word out. Okay. Can I get out of here? All right, let me see if we can finish this.
How much time do we have?
We got like, I told my wife I'd be there no later than 10:10, so we got 5 minutes.
Dale, yeah.
Oh,
Dale.
Yeah. All right, so let me do this real quick. Let me see what my notes say. Yeah, it ain't gonna happen. We're leaving off at verse 26. We're so close.
There we go.
All right. So there'll be a part three, but it will be very brief. And I think because the last parable is have faith, people. Have faith.
Real quick.
So we're going to do this real quick next week.
Yeah.
And we can probably knock this out in 15, 20 minutes. And the other parable of the sheep and goats is so similar, and it's just so quick. We'll be able to finish all of that next week, I'm pretty sure. And then we'll be able to jump on the feast. So, part three next week. You guys must speak faith.
Right. Not being locked into a schedule.
Oh my God. Oh, you just said a bad word, Al.
Go Dan.
All right.
Go Dan.